sin I cried. Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Mission Go. Today our scripture is taken from Psalm 23, verse 3, which says, "He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Not only does the Lord take care of our soul and continue to draw us towards himself, but also he gives us wisdom and guidance and direction. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's always constantly trying to help me to do the right thing, to think the right thing, and actually do the right thing each moment of each day. And we're doing this for his name's sake because we're here on earth to fulfill our purpose to honor and glorify him and bring honor to his name and to bless him and to be used by him to reach this world for Christ. And so this is just a tremendous promise from the Word of God that he continues involved in our lives. He's watching over us. He's protecting us. He gives us wisdom and guidance and direction to do the right thing and to be a witness and a testimony and a light in such a dark time of history. Lord, be to his
name. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Let my life be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
This is a radio edition of the Global Times. I'm your host today, Dennis Campbell, standing in for Dr. Brian Albrecht. Recording our continued interview with Jeff and Jesse for Global Times. I'd like to continue our conversation from last week about short-term missions. Gentlemen?
Yeah, we had left off last week just telling a little bit of our stories of how we got involved in missions and short-term trips and helping to mobilize the church. We also recognize that there, over the years, there have been people that go on short-term trips with all the wrong motives, reasons, and so on. And as I shared my story, that first trip to the Dominican Republic was eye-opening to me because I'd never been to a third world country. And there was something that I didn't share is that second year when I said we were going back to the same country, I had a lot of pushback from teenagers and for parents. And what they had said is, well, we've already been there. And that, in my heart, broke my heart because I realized that our church had been having these trips every year for the teenagers to go, but we had created a culture of, it's sort of like a smorgasbord. Well, I want to try that. I want to try that, rather than following exactly what God wants to do. Short-term trips can be done really, really bad. if they're not prepared, if there's not training, if there's not cross-cultural training, and really knowing the missionaries and the ministry in country that you're going to be serving. And so it takes a lot of preparation to make a trip what we would say is a beneficial and successful trip. And it does take a lot of work. If you don't take the time to get to know the missionary that you're going to be working with, the culture that you're going to be working inside of, and how you may fit into their ministry to benefit them and help them, many times it's better that you not go. But if you do that, there's a lot of missionaries out there that need that extra boost, that extra help, and also those extra resources that people in North America can actually bring alongside the missionary to accomplish missions that they could never do on their own. There's some trips that we go, when we get there, we realize it's not about what we're going to do, but we're there to literally encourage that missionary in what they're doing all the days when we're not there. And it's just a week of encouragement coming alongside him and her and almost reviving them of what their mission and their call is and what their purpose is. There's other times where we do go, and it is a lot of work. There are projects and there's things that we're building and things like that. And what you can accomplish with a team of 15 people building a building where that missionary on the field may not ever get to be able to build that by himself. There's also, when it's done right, we are including the indigenous people alongside of that ministry that he's working with to make sure that they're involved in what we're doing. So short-term trips can be done and done really, really well and be a huge benefit.
One of the most exciting parts that I find is when Jeff and I start to be almost excluded from the process because the pastors and the members of a certain congregation are starting to relate and have relationship with the foreign pastor and his congregants on their own without using us as a liaison, where there's the two churches or the two congregations or even there's friendships that are built that, you know, I've even seen people get married between two separate countries where Jeff and I start that process. We are help with a mechanism. But then over time, the intimacy grows between those two people groups and they start to travel on their own. And we might help with some training. We might help with some details that they might need help with. But they start to do something autonomous, which is amazing. And that's what we love to see because there is a church, you know, capital C, you know, and there might be a church here where we are in Western New York, and there might be a church in, like Jeff said, the Dominican Republic, but we are all considered part of, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ, and to be able to help one another is very satisfying for Jeff and I to see those relationships grow.
Yeah, absolutely. I have had experience with a short term when someone's gone, not sure what they could do. They were a carpenter by skill and got to a village, a remote village, and they didn't understand how to build truss systems the way this carpenter did. And he completely changed their way of building their roof structures, which had always been a problem because of winds in the area. And because he shared something that they was seen as a real value, they began to understand and want to know more about who this person was and why they were there, which obviously led into them being able to share Jesus Christ. That was the heart that brought them there. Right. Well, thank you for this, and let's continue on with our next episode. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you know, this is a listener-supported program, and we couldn't be on the air without the support of our listeners who are so faithful to us. We've been on the air over 90 years sharing the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and we trust that the Lord will continue to sustain us each month. This month, we're offering a wonderful pamphlet on Psalm 23. It's very in-depth, has a lot of meat to it. I was really impressed with it. Psalm 23, as we know, is one of the most familiar passages in the Word of God. And this pamphlet really brings out the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And I believe it would really help your spiritual life. I believe it'd bring you closer to God and appreciate Him and also appreciate the care he has in your life as he takes care of you each and every minute of every day. So I encourage you to write in and get your copy of Psalm 23. You can write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Please continue to pray for Canada's National Bible Hour. Thank you.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. And
today's message is from Reverend George Francisco, and it's a look at the fourth Psalm of David. Printed copies are available upon request.
To you in the topic, Ebenezer, the God who helps. The story of Ebenezer took place comparatively early in the history of Israel. Moses, you recall, led the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. Under Joshua, the 12 tribes entered the Promised Land after wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. Then followed the period of the judges. Israel would forget God, fall into idol worship. God would punish them by allowing their enemies to overcome them. Israel would then repent and call upon the Lord. And the Lord would then raise up judges such as Jephthah, Samson, or Gideon, and through them would deliver Israel. Samuel was the last judge of Israel, and he was prominent in the change of Israel's leadership from a theocracy to a monarchy, anointing Saul the first king of Israel. The story of Ebenezer takes place during Samuel's life, and we turn to it now, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And they gathered together in Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said, We have sinned against the Lord. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together, the lords of the Philistine went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines, and said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb, and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder that day upon the Philistines, and discomforted them, and they were smitten before Israel. Then Samuel took a stone, and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto the Lord hath helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and came no more into the coast of Israel. Ebenezer was the commemoration of a great and wonderful deliverance of Israel by God's help. It was so significant that Samuel set up that special stone for a memorial, so that whenever people passed by, they would be reminded not only of that time of deliverance, but of all the times that God had helped them in the past. We need to note that the Bible teaches that God does help those who turn to Him. We're all familiar with the words of Psalm 46, which says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, verse 1. In verse 5, again, speaking of Israel, it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. In Hosea 13:9, God declares to Israel, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. So God is a God of help. He is willing to help not only Israel, but anyone who truly seeks him. For we have a promise in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, which says, The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Do you need help today in your life, in your marriage, or in your work? God is a wonder-working helper and is waiting to help you and all who are troubled. But there must be a sincerity in our seeking if we would find God's help. In 1 Samuel 7, we see first that before Ebenezer can take place or the help of God come to us, there must be a preparation. Israel took several important steps before finding God's help. The first step was contrition. Verse 2 of 1 Samuel 7 says, And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. That is, they were truly sorry for the way they had left God and followed their own sinful way. Then, secondly, there was confession. Verse 6 says of Israel that they gathered together to Mizpah and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. They not only knew that they had sinned, but they confessed their sins before God. There's a wonderful promise in the New Testament, 1 John 1 and 9. God's word says, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Confession is an important part of bringing God's blessing and help to us. God can make such promises because Christ died on the cross for us and paid the full penalty of our sin. After confession, there was cleansing. In verse 3 of 1 Samuel 7, Samuel said to them, Put away the strange gods among you. Israel had to be cleansed from their sin. Then they could face, pursue, and conquer their enemies. Scripture says that God thundered upon the Philistines, making them afraid, perhaps. And then, verse 11, The men of Israel pursued the Philistines and smote them. Just as those steps led Israel to Ebenezer, where God's mighty help came, they will lead you and me to finding God's help as well. God loves us, and He, like the father of the prodigal son, will run to meet us with words of kindness and forgiveness if we will turn to Him with all our hearts. In Matthew 14, Jesus asked his disciples to go across the Sea of Galilee, and later he came walking on the water to them during a storm. Peter impetuously asked, in Matthew 14 and 30, "Bid me come unto thee on the water." Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. That short prayer, "Lord, save me," brought the help that Peter needed. And a similar prayer will bring God's help to you as well. I invite you now to turn your heart and life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your heart and to your life, to forgive you and cleanse you from your sins, and to control every situation in which you have need. You will soon be able to say, "Ebenezer, the Lord hath helped me when I needed it most." Then Ebenezer not only had an important preparation, but it also reveals the pathway to blessing in the Christian life. Verse 9 says, "Samuel cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him." Prayer was an important part in bringing God's help to the nation. At the time, Israel was weak. The people were in personal distress. They were not prepared for war. Yet the Philistines chose that very moment to come against them in battle. Satan, God's enemy, is a skillful tactician, it seems. We can learn from this that we too have an enemy of the soul who will not attack us in our points of strength as much as in our points of weakness. It is when we are tired and burdened with trials and cares that Satan sends his strongest attacks. Temptations come at our weakest moment. Jesus said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Matthew 26:41. Prayer keeps us alert to the tactics of the enemy, and it puts us in a spiritual place where God's power can be connected to our need. Jesus continually instructed his disciples to pray. He said, "Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you." Matthew 7. Again he said, "All power is given unto me." Matthew 28. Prayer then connects us to the God of power. When Samuel cried unto the Lord heard him, and thundered a great thunder upon the Philistines. Brethren, we need to pray as Samuel did, for ourselves and for our families, that we will be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need to pray for our pastors and churches, that they will be enabled to powerfully and effectively proclaim God's word in this sinful age. We need to cry out to God on behalf of our nation, which continues to drift away from God's word and God's ways. Job declared that God sends down the rain according to the amount of vapor that ascends. Chapter 36, verse 27. Could it be that God will rain down spiritual blessings only when the church gets desperate and sends up prayer as a torrent of vapor heavenward? Let us renew our commitment to prayer and seek God's face earnestly as Samuel did, so that we can have a spiritual Ebenezer. The second step in the pathway to blessing was the importance of the lamb. Verse 10 says, "And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Lord thundered with a great thunder." Samuel offered up a lamb, and it was then that God sent heavenly help. Scripture says that Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. 1 John 1. He died to pay for our sins. When we realize that we can do nothing to save ourselves and come to the cross and accept God's Lamb for our sins, this enables God to pour out his blessing and forgiveness. When we stand and declare that Christ is God's Lamb sent from heaven for all mankind, then God can thunder, as it were, in the minds and the hearts of sinful men and melt those hearts of stone. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." John 12:32. To lift up Christ as God's Lamb is vitally important. It is the truth of the gospel, and truth is powerful. It is the gospel seed, and when it is sown in the minds and hearts of men, it will guarantee a spiritual harvest. Scripture says that God's Word and Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1:16. Let us look to the Lamb. Lift up the Lamb. Stand unmovable for the Lamb. This will assure us of God's help and blessing. The stone Ebenezer that Samuel set up was a constant reminder to the people that God had helped them in every way in the past. Perhaps some thought back to their deliverance from Egypt, others to their time when God provided for them in the wilderness, still others to the times when God gave them victory over powerful military nations. Ebenezer reminded them that God had been faithful to them, even when they had been so unfaithful. There is inherent in all of this a promise for the future. For if God had helped them in every way in the past, then there is confidence that He would be there for them in the future. This is the essence of the New Testament teaching. Jesus said, "Have faith in God. Behold the fowls of the air. God provides for them. He will provide for us." I trust today that Ebenezer will be an important part of your life as you come and look for God's help and trust your heart and your life to Him.
I trust the message you just heard will have an impact on your life throughout this next week. Pray to continue to draw you close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're really concerned about the spiritual well-being of everyone who listens to our broadcasts. Those of you who are believers in Christ and mature, I trust that this message has added to your knowledge and has added to your spiritual life. But there may be some listening who don't know Jesus Christ personally, and without that, they really have no future life with God. So the gospel is very simple. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation is a gift of God because Jesus Christ did all the work on the cross of Calvary. He bore our sins in His own body as He hung on the tree. He took our place. He took the hell that we deserve for all our sins. It was placed on Jesus, and He died, and He was buried, and He rose again on the third day, and He's now at the right hand of God the Father, and He's watching over the affairs of the world. The Bible also tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And of course, all of us are sinners. All of us would have to admit that we all do wrong, have wrong thoughts, do wrong deeds. And then another scripture in Romans tells us that the wages of that sin, or the payment for that sin, is death, that spiritual separation from God in a place that's not pleasant. The scripture goes on to say the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You need to receive Christ as your Savior, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Also, this month, we're offering a wonderful pamphlet on Psalm 23. You really want to get a copy of this. It'll enrich your spiritual life. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. You can also visit us on our website at www.missiongo.org. And please remember us in your prayers throughout this next week, as we are a listener-supported ministry, and it's a very difficult time to raise funds through the summer. May the good Lord continue to bless you and keep you in a mighty way.